All of
Sorry.
this needs to go in. Okay, so I'm gonna hit record. I am gonna intro the show, and then I'm gonna intro you. And I think Eric should say in like intro you as well.
You already hit recording.
I know.
Okay, great.
Okay. Gross. Welcome to Nobody's Saying Hello. This is the show where we call up our friends and we say hi, hello, how are you doing? How's your world? We are brought to you in part by your support on Patreon. It's patreon.com/thenobodies. Go give us a dollar or two, and I'll pretend to try to remember to give you things for them.
No, you do remember. You're great at it.
Yeah, sure. Today on the show, I just don't know what to say about her because there's so much to say. So
You're
all
not responsible for this next guest,
we
but
are
please.
not responsible for what might happen. This is the chaotic queen of Brooklyn and abroad. She will be a worm in your mind after this. So she will live rent-free in your head. It's Immy Great.
Hi.
They can't see you flicking the fan. We've been over
You
this.
can add the sound in. It makes loud enough a sound.
I think
Also, I am warm. Hi.
hi.
Hello, nobodies. I thought Ariel Itali would be resurrected for Halloween, but here we are.
No, not this Halloween. It's too close. You have to ferment in the ground for a while before you can resurrect.
I
True.
actually
At least 3 days.
I actually
Of
offered,
course.
and she said no. You offered her for the cat show.
Oh
Oh
yeah,
yeah,
I
I
offered her
offered
for the
her for the
cat
cat
show,
show,
and
and
because
because
like
like
she
she
was
was
like,
like,
"Oh,
"Oh,
what
what
role
role
would
would
you
you
have
have
me
me
play?"
play?
We were talking about it last year, so I was like, "I see you doing Gus." And so I gave her that, and I was like, "Hey, you can have like a final theater cat show, and you're a theater person and you're a cat." So I was like, And
"This
your
is perfect."
cat.
And she was like, "That requires effort. I would ra m much rather prefer to not do
Yeah,
anything."
seeing I got in trouble for the same excuse for not wanting to do it.
Oh,
You were
but.
not retired from drag.
Oh,
I've.
but Ariel is retiring and she does not have a history of doing that.
Oh. Oh, we're not going to get into this right now because this is a personal conversation we all need to have separately. The fact that all of my friends, the
It is
fact that
part
all
of
of
my
my friends
professional life.
talked behind my back about my flakiness. That is no longer a thing. And also, you cast me in that show and put me on the poster before I even confirmed I wanted to be part of it. So,
Emmy, why don't you tell us about this cat show?
ugh.
So last December, I went to see the cat show with the nobodies and friends. We occupied a couple rows
This
in
was when
Chelsea.
we could actually like be in a group of friends.
Yeah, eons ago. And my first reaction was, oh, this is the new thing for Halloween. And so when October came around, Berica reminded me. And so I started doing this. And the show is this Saturday, Halloween, at 8 p.m. You can come watch our show as you get ready for your other things later in the night. And have a gay old time.
Oh my
I
God.
mean, like, is there like a concept to this, or is this just like the concept is cats?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to stay true to the original Andrew Lloyd Webber conception, which is basically the fact that it's about cats. That's it, though.
That's it.
No,
that's not true because
But I
when
really
she.
hope this becomes a yearly tradition, and I want to like go through the Chinese zodiac and be like, next year, for example, I want to do horses as cats. Everybody wears a horse mask. And the story of Grisabella is literally the story of BoJack Horseman, so we're gonna
I
roll with
mean,
it.
that doesn't make any sense. We're
Does the
both just
story
like,
make sense in the first place?
no, but like you can't just put horse heads on cats and then call it cats, but perform by horses that are drag queens? That's too many things.
We shall see.
Here's the thing. Here's the
Listen,
thing, right? Here's the thing, when I brought
You
it
guys
back
have seen
up.
firsthand of how much I am a groundbreaker.
Emmy.
We're starting with a heavy hitter.
A groundbreaker.
Groundbreaker. Emmy, great groundbreaker. Emmy, can you tell our audience at home
Wait,
about.
wait, 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 wait. We're not moving on yet.
Okay.
I want to say that when I brought it back up for you to do the show, I was like, well, some venues are doing live shows again. Maybe she'll do a live thing. If you do it live, I would be more apt to do it. But also, you had a lot of rules for your performers that I was not down with. You said it's just
Well,
about cats, but there were a lot of rules.
I mean, the rules were set so that it would be just about cats. It's not necessarily a show themed around cats. We're basically recreating the soundtrack album. We're not making mixes. We're not adding extra commentary. We're just doing this cat makeup. We wear whatever we want and making music videos.
Okay.
And it's
So in
actually a little
defense of
over 1 hour long, and that's it.
me and my former flakiness, I was one, did not I did not say I was going to be in the show before you put me on the poster.
But actually,
And
let me say this. This
two,
is what I
did not
appreciate.
no, and two, did not know the rules, which I do not adhere to rules like that. Okay, what do you want to say?
In your defense, you pulled out after reading the rules. Some of the people never bother to read the rules.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because like in the rules, whenever I produce, I write either a long email or a Google Doc or a group message, and I mention in the middle, "Hey, pause reading here. Send me a promo picture before you continue reading." And at
But
the
when we're
end,
doing brunch, y'all, she hardly ever shows up on time.
well, am I the one
oh,
reading the thing up
that
right
is to pay respect for Berica's MO, which is there are no rules. I don't follow rules.
Oh, okay. Touche. Emmy, can you
And
tell us who's on the cat
at the
show?
very end of the show details, I said, if you made it this far, send me a cat emoji in the DMs.
I read that. I read to the end. The thing about
Yeah.
sobriety is you start reading directions and following rules so you know where to break them.
So, even though you flaked on this, I really appreciate your commitment to
It's
this.
not a flake!
Go back to the recordings and listen, everyone. She keeps saying my flakiness, and it's not a flake. Over and over, back and forth, and
This
back and
is
forth.
not technically a flake.
Oh my God, oh my God. Emmy, who is on the cat show?
Yeah, who's on the cat show?
The OG cat drag, Crimson Kitty.
Yes. No, duh.
Myself as Desmond Dudu. Cecilia Sin
Yourself as
from
Desmond
Ups.
Dudu playing Macavity,
Yes,
which
myself as Desmond Dudu as
is
Macavity the mystery cat. And my partner in crime is Kilo Kiki, who just moved to Brooklyn from Dallas. We have Cecilia Sin from upstate New York as, excuse me, Grisabella, the glamour cat. We have two drag kings from Boston, Empty Heart and Travis T as Mungo Jerry and Rumble Teaser. Another Boston queen, Mike Hawk as Bustopher Jones.
I love that name, Mike Hawk.
Strawberry as Monka Strap, the narrator, and Mauve, Strawberry's partner, as Jenny Any Dots, the Gumby Cat, played by Rebel Wilson. Who else do we have? Uncle Freak as Rum Tum Tugger,
Yes.
channeling Jason Derulo.
Oh, Jason Derulo.
Insane.
I mean, the cat version of him says his name, so
I'm
very well
sorry,
cast.
Jason Derulo was probably one of the best people in that movie.
Oh yeah.
Wait, isn't
Oh,
is Linda in it too, Linda?
Linda Felcher as Skimble Shanks, the railway cat, and Linda was like, I don't do tap dance, and I was like, I want to see your Kate Bush take on Skimble Shanks.
Linda Felcher as Kate Bush as Kimble
Yes.
Shanks.
If you don't know, Linda Felcher is a Brooklyn queen, a Brooklyn thing, really, that does a lot of Kate Bush and a lot of nutty shit.
Linda Felcher is easily my favorite performer in all of Brooklyn, I think. I think I'll just say that outright. I think Linda is the best performer. I just think her ideas are so nuts, and she does them.
She's so thorough and earnest with them too.
Yeah. But they're also like, I don't know, her imagination is just really strange, and I really
She creates
it.
Everything she does. It's immaculate, but also has a very grungy, unpolished feel, which is like not a bad thing, but like it's very deliberate and calculated, and I love that.
And she has a sensitivity about her, both in real life and on stage, that you are just engaged.
To give the audience at home an idea of a Linda Felcher performance, the last Linda Felcher performance I saw was her in like this ghoulish nightmare mask of like a woman smiling. And she was in like a horrible 80s dress. And she was walking in and out of a room while a video of Vanna White like pushing letters on Wheel of Fortune played in the background.
Oh,
and
it was so unsettling.
It's just the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
Is that the last thing you saw, or was it at the park?
No, you saw her 2K push at the park.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so Linda is also very famous in the Brooklyn world for doing an exact lip sync to, is it Running Up That Hill?
No, Wuthering Heights.
Wuthering Heights.
Yeah, she danced a whole choreo in that red dress. She also did it at Bushwick. She like went into the crowds and left waving.
Wait, it's the actual choreo from
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen the video.
Yeah,
Ariel used to do it Ariel used to do it in Drag Roulettes, and she would like do weird dancing movements. I thought you knew.
I don't know anything. We know this.
Well, but now you know. Yay, sobriety.
No, I actually know less now.
Is that true?
But like, there's more memory space on the hard drive. It's a good thing.
It's hard to explain. When you've been fucked up for more than half of your life, like 20 years, things are different.
I could see that.
Emmy, wait. Yes.
I'm gonna go. Emmy, okay, you are beloved, let's say, for your A+ drag show. Can you like tell us about it? I mean, it's like one of my favorite shows I've ever been a part of.
Yes.
It has been on hiatus, and right now it's indefinite. I don't know when I'm starting back up again, because there are specific challenges to putting it back on. But I will tell you about the conception and stuff. So I first came to the New York scene in 2015. I went back to school for graduation to get a degree, and then I came back in 2016. I was in Manhattan and Queens, and only in 2017 I got into Brooklyn. But I was trying to find my space, and I hung out with Mocha Light during afters at Macri Park. Do we need an introduction on Mocha Light?
We've talked about her before.
One of the mothers of Brooklyn drag.
Yes.
And she is a mixed person. She is Black. She is Japanese. She's also part Eastern European. She said she liked my drag, which is a huge compliment. And she told me the Asian girls don't get that much credit for their work, and they don't get to work together a lot. If you have the time and the energy, you should put something together with Pearl Harbor, who is part of Switch and Play and also a staple in Brooklyn drag that I really admire. But Pearl Harbor at that time was starting grad school, and I ended up starting A+ by myself. And along the way, I found Wang Newton to be the MC. I have been friends with Juicy Liu for a while. So I brought her into Brooklyn. I think that was one of her early Brooklyn gigs. And we were at Bazaar Bushwick, and I would have a cast of 5 or 6 every month. And when I started, I was like, this is going to run for 4 months, and that's it. Back in July, we hit 3 years of it. And during the pandemic, I started booking. I decided to go online to Twitch, and I started to book people out of the city. And I decided to go international because I know Asian people from different parts of the world. And Drag Race Thailand just wrapped season 2. And I had also met the people on the show, including one of the hosts. So I was like, I'm gonna pull out my address book and see who wants to be on the show. Everybody wants to do something during this time. So let's do it as an experiment. And it was surprisingly successful, but also a lot to put together.
Do those shows live on the internet still? Can someone go watch them if they wanted to?
I think 3 of them are. Well, I've done 3 shows, but I've also done a restream. I think they are on my Twitch channel.
What's your Twitch channel?
My Twitch channel, I am at emigrate_drag on every social media. That is Instagram, Twitter, Venmo, Twitch.
Dope. Well, can you tell us about, like, because, like, it was, like, such a community event when it was happening. Can you tell us about, like, the spirit of it a little bit?
Yeah. So I going back to the conversation I had with Mocha Light, when Asian queens get on stage, it usually, or like makes any kind of appearance anywhere, it's usually in a box of, oh, you're a Ching Chong girl. They don't say it that way, but like the implication is always, oh, you're Asian, quote unquote, Asian. And there's a certain expectation to how we should look, how we should behave, the things we should talk about. But by getting all of us in one space under that identity umbrella, we eliminate kind of the similarities and the similarities that the public sees in us. We eliminate them and we get to share the differences with the public, with our audience, but also find other similarities between us, among us, that is meaningful to us. Like, how do we talk to our families and extended family as queer people? What is our relationship to migration? If you are a migrant yourself, or if you're a child of migrant parents, and also, what does it mean to be college educated or not be college educated as an Asian person in the US? And recently, because we've gone international, we've been able to a little bit more talk about being queer in different places. Mm-hmm. So when the shows were live, the queer identity kind of took a backseat. But now that the shows are international again, the Asian identity took a little bit of a backseat and the queer identity becomes more of a topic. And in terms of the space, I have never really done a theme show. I only put together like themes on the poster as like fun visual things for people to look at. It's bring whatever you want. In live shows, I usually ask 2 numbers. Like, one number introduces who you are, and the other lets the audience focus on whatever aspect you want to share with the audience. But I don't always spell it out like that, but it usually goes that way.
I mean, what was amazing about A+, I mean, there were so many amazing things about it, but, like, what was amazing about it for me was seeing, like, you curated the show in such a way that there would be an avant-garde queen, a campy queen, a dancer, you know, like there were so many different types of drag, a drag king.
Burlesque, Agent Wednesday.
Yeah, and burlesque. And it was like, it was just really like a compelling show and because of that. And so it was a diverse show in so many different kinds of ways, not just because it featured Asian talent, but because it featured literal like diverse styles of performance.
Oh yeah. I guess that's
Is that
I have tried
or did it just happen that way?
I have tried more actively to have that element in the show, but when I started, it kind of fell together because, like, I've really been a fan of drag and how different people do different things. So I do my stuff a certain way. Wang handles his character a very specific way, and his character actually gets to shine more in an Asian space. And his character usually irks the audience in a non-Asian space because, like, he would play really heavily on the stereotype. But for us, having a senior member of the community lean in on that character is like, oh, you are the queer uncle that we've always wanted and needed. Not like a character pushing the audience to be uncomfortable.
It's so interesting that you say that, because I've seen Wang, you know, a million times, but I've mostly seen him at A+, and I never thought about the way the audience perceives him if it's an all-white audience.
Yeah.
Because I've only seen it mostly Asian
Wang
audience.
Wang usually says this thing on mic when he's like with a general audience. He would be like, I give you permission, say X, Y, and Z. With us, he started out that way, but he hasn't had to do that much. Because, like, when he comes on, we're on cue knowing, we know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like a weird uncle coming up to have fun, not like, oh, who is this Asian dude with this heavy accent going to lead us in a chant in something we shouldn't say.
Right. Wang is like a beloved drag king in New York, but is also like traveled internationally with his drag.
He is international. He recently back in 2018, he recently reconnected with the Taiwanese people. He got a huge pride feature in Taiwan, I think right after they legalized same-sex marriage.
Mm.
Wow.
He's incredible. His sense of humor is really, like, it would be really uncomfortable in a room of all white people, because he very self-consciously is playing with stereotypes about Asian men, and, like, a white audience would feel very strange laughing at that, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I wanna take us back to how you got here. You are from Burma, right?
Yeah. Yes. Here as in where? Because here is so many things.
Here to this place. Here to this New York, to where you are now in your career, and what drew you here? Take us back. To young immigrant.
Take us back. I was born in 1993 in the city of Mandalay,
God.
Which is last seat of the kings in Burma. Okay, I'm just kidding. I came to the U.S. in 2011 for college. I came out in college, and I was severely depressed. And I couldn't, like, handle being in that same school anymore after 2 years, so I transferred to a new school, where I became a theater major. And because, like, I would wear heels and makeup and nail polish around campus. And people just didn't care, thankfully enough. It's like, oh, it's the weird kid doing whatever they want. People left me alone in general. And so the professors started putting me in cross-gender roles. And one time we were doing short plays, and one of the professors was like, hey, why don't you do this monologue as your own character, and then you can sing a song at the end? I was like, yeah, let's do that. But that was in November 2014. But I had taken a sociology class on gender diversity in, when was it? 2012 or 2013. And a friend of mine in class asked me, what would your drag name be? That was also the first time, around the time I heard of, like, RuPaul's Drag Race and saw a drag king show. My first show was actually a drag king show. And I learned about drag through books, so I was exposed to more than just female impersonation. So I'm fortunate to have been exposed that way to drag. And back then, I was already planning on transferring schools, and I had already moved from one country into another, and I was starting to experiment with gender, so I was like, the name is Emigrate, just the word emigrate split in half. And so in mid-November 2014, I did a monologue and a song as Emigrate, and a local drag queen helped me with makeup and hair and outfits. And so that's how I became Emigrate. Mm-hmm. Summer 2015, I came to New York City because I couldn't get an internship that I wanted. And I didn't want to go home. Because one time I went home after coming out was terrifying. And that's how I got to know the New York City scene. And after graduation, I came back and I've been here since. I turned 6 years in drag come November 13th.
Now we can't fucking get rid of you if we try.
I know. No. She's like a parasite.
Emmy, what is the idea? Like, what is drag in Burma?
I have no clue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have it? Is it possible, or do you have any interest in going back there now that you have? Can we talk about your asylum now here?
Yes. As things currently stand, I have zero interest in being back. It still seems extremely hostile, and I actually have like no connections there anymore besides my parents and some very select members of the extended family. My parents have become more invested in my work during quarantine because they're like, they've also had to close things down, and they have more time to actually investigate in what I'm up to, which is great. In terms of drag in Burma, I have no clue, and there are very few visible trans figures, mostly famous as makeup artists. And I think there are a few fashion designers, but they seem to come from wealth.
Mm.
So
what is like the legal status of homosexuality in
Burma? Oh, we still have Section 377, which criminalizes same-sex activity, mm-hmm, and gender nonconformity. Punishments for, I think for Burma, punishments are 2 years to life in prison.
Oh my God.
It's not that heavily implemented by law. The law's not that heavily implemented, but there's like a lot of extortion from law enforcement for bribes. And there are reports of queer people being detained for no reason and being beaten in prison, and people go missing.
Ooh.
And the families don't really care because, like, oh, they're ashamed of the family. They're gone now.
Mm.
Wow.
Well, I see why you don't want to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emmy, let's switch directions. What do you know about wrestling?
There's something called a face. There's something called a heel.
Yes, good job.
You know what those things are?
Yes. Eric once told me, nobody loves a heel, don't be one.
Emmy, great. Would you consider yourself a heel in Brooklyn Drag or a face? A baby face?
I would consider myself a butthole right in the middle. I was hoping you would ask me a question so I can answer that.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Emmy, great. Tell everybody what your nickname for me is. What do you always call me?
Bear Bear?
When you want something. It's usually when you want something.
Stepmom?
No, it's Bear Bear.
Yeah,
you
said Bear Bear.
Bear Bear?
Yeah, she calls me Bear Bear.
Because Ariel calls her Bear Bear, and I started calling it. I was like, oh, this is actually sweet. I love Verica.
Oh.
You're both the most demented people I've ever met in my life.
Me and her?
That's why we do good shows together.
I miss
our crazy goes together.
So much.
I always remember Ariel telling me, like, she went to a brunch that was just you two, when she wasn't working.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, the inmates are running the asylum. Like, it is not a wonder.
she would totally get mad at us when we put her in the mom role, though, because she was like,
yeah,
I want to play.
She once had a serious conversation about, like, why do you always put me in the mom role? And it's like, because you're the only one who's capable of doing that?
Because she's literally the most responsible person in the room.
Always. In any Brooklyn drag show, she's the most responsible person in the room.
Definitely. 1,000,000%.
It's going to get even better now that she doesn't have to focus on doing drag, because she'll be able to be like, do you need a water? Here's $5.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you need a shot? Do you need a hug?
Ariel is also, like, for real, this is the real tea, she is a very good audience member. She laughs at everything. She claps at everything. She tips well. She'll buy everyone a drink. She just loves it.
She loves the show. And it'll be fun for her to be at shows again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, walking around as a zombie, as we are.
Yeah.
Berica,
do you have a commercial to read?
Oh, shit. Yes, commercial break! Nobody's Saying Hello is brought to you in part by Book It by Foam Hammer Games. Book It is the pro wrestling promoter card game that puts you and your friends in the shoes of an independent wrestling promoter. You got to try to make that money, girl. Try to make that money. I lost my place in my script, so I'm just going to go off cuff. Make that money. If you like board games, you like pro wrestling, just do it. You're going to book the best matches. You're going to make the most money, and you're going to build your reputation to win. You can play with up to 4 of your friends and your favorite pro wrestling superstars. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Kaylee, double M, or the father figure of indie wrestling, Buffy. He has a studded jacket that's pink. Wink, wink. Enter promo code The Nobodies at checkout, and you can get $10 off your purchase at foamhammergames.com. I'm really good at commercials.
That was good. I can't remember who I was talking to about it, but someone told me that game was incredibly fun, and I believe them.
We can play.
Yeah, let's play it. I want to play it. Let's do it.
I'll need Charles to be there again, because he is a master at board games, and those directions. There were a lot of directions, and I am not the person to be reading directions like that.
Charles is our sound guy, and he loves a board game.
Charles is also just very special.
I love him.
Charles present right now, or is he just going to edit this afterwards?
Oh, he did a couple episodes of this because they got fucked up, but I don't edit this very much. So he was our sound guy on the YouTube series.
He pops in to save our asses when, like, a...
Yeah, he'll save our asses a lot.
If anyone has ever seen us being like, we're having some problems with audio, you can bet Charles is the one
that fixed it. Yeah. Thank you, Charles Hageman. What else do we got?
Speaking of games, are you going to make me play games? Because that's
like... We're going to do rapid fire.
Yeah, we have rapid fire.
Yeah, you want to play rapid fire.
But you interrupted me when I was trying to explain the show earlier, so I didn't get to that part. Are you ready for rapid fire?
Nobody's yelling.
Is the time already?
We can. Do you have any questions for us?
No, but there are things I want to say, but let's do rapid fire first, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
I want to know what these things are you
want
to say.
Yeah, I'm worried about this.
Okay, we'll do rapid fire first.
Emmy, right? This is recorded.
I want to talk about the future of drag.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's talk about the future of drag after rapid fire. I love that.
Okay, rapid fire. One word answers
if you
can. Just listen. Listen to what I'm saying. Follow directions. Rapid fire. One word answers if you can, as quick as you can. Favorite food?
Pork belly.
Chicken or egg?
Chicken.
Scrambled or fried?
Fried.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Favorite color?
Red.
Favorite comedy?
John Mulaney.
Favorite drama?
I don't have one. My life.
Favorite wrestler?
Favorite drama? My life.
My life. Favorite wrestler?
The only one I know, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, good.
Favorite lady?
Lady Berica Andrews.
Yes! Oh, wow. Ding! You're the only one who's ever gotten it right.
Is that how you sneak it in?
Yeah. Favorite baby? This face you're giving. Oh my god.
Baby love?
There you go.
Sure.
Her body is amazing. Favorite what?
Cat.
Oh. Hmm.
Oh my god.
This is a very serious question. I must not pick favorites in my cast.
It's not about the cast, it's about the cat.
Oh. Growing up, I had a cat. We never named her. We never took her to the vet. She lived to be 17. We just called her Pussy. God.
That's a better answer than I could have hoped for. Something you miss.
Street food.
Dream job.
Concert hall singer.
Someone you miss.
My grandma.
Favorite drag artist of all time.
Glitter Baby.
Oh!
That's my spouse.
Yeah, yes. You're married.
We're married. The following are true or false questions.
Okay.
Books.
What?
Books, true or false?
True or false, books!
True, if they're nonfiction.
Magazines.
True.
Wrestling.
False.
Drag.
False.
The Secret.
True?
Yeah. God.
That was good, you got the hang of it. Emmy, what do you want to say about the future of drag? Tell us about the future of drag.
I didn't finish.
Oh, there's
She's
more?
She's cutting me off.
Say something nice. Oh, wait. Favorite nobody, dead or alive?
What?
Yeah.
DJ Exxon Report.
Oh.
Actually picked a favorite. Oh, my God.
Listen, you can't be my favorite lady and my favorite nobody.
Why?
Because Eric deserves it.
Okay, no. Say something nice about me.
I love your sense of spontaneity. Is that backhanded?
No, yeah. I like it. Say something nice about Ariel.
She's very responsible, especially when I can't be.
Say something nice about Accident Report. He hates this part.
He doesn't want me to be in student debt.
True.
DJ Exxon Report has talked me out of going to grad school about 3 times now, I think.
Oh my God, 7, but yeah.
That's really nice of you, question mark?
Yeah, okay. It is. Trust me.
what's next? What is the future of drag?
Yeah, tell it. Now it's future of drag time. Tell us about the future of drag.
No, I was just thinking about adjusting.
I feel like we're doing a psychic reading or something.
Did you see the Madame Fivelda?
Do you see Berica in the future of drag?
Not if she doesn't start doing online shows.
Oh, interesting.
So, like, there used to be a thing among us performers that we make fun of quote-unquote Instagram drag queens because, like, they just take pretty
now
pictures
everybody
and edit them. Now everybody's appearing on a screen and now we're making fun of people who do live shows.
Mm-hmm. Truly.
And
make fun all you want.
And how do I put this? I think we're really trying to make a transition of like making our arts visible on a screen. And I did an interview earlier in quarantine about doing a live show versus doing digital drag. In a three-dimensional space with audience, different people experience things differently, but on a screen, you have to give people the right amount of content. It's too much and people lose interest. Too little, then people don't get into you. You have to plot everything. Rehearsal becomes a different process. For me, especially in terms of working through my mental health situations and being able to perform, if it's a live show, I can like put on my makeup and just get out of the door, and once I'm on stage, I'm fine. But when I'm filming at home and preparing for something, the build up is more intense.
Yeah.
And there is no like transition point of once the light hits the stage, I am the queen, blah, blah. It's not that anymore.
It's, now you understand.
Not done until everything is done.
Because we have similar mental health issues, and now you understand why it's not easy. It's with digital drag, you have to become, as a drag queen, you're already so many things.
Yeah.
With digital drag, you have to be even more. And there's no guarantee of a couple dollars in my hand. And for me, like, yeah, it'd be nice to say, like, let's just do the art for art's sake. But for me, it takes so much mental capacity just to get on a
and
stage.
And you need that.
And I personally, yes, I do. I need that immediate feedback. The difference is, though, like, as an actor, if I go onto a film set, I'm expecting not to have that. There's a little bit from like the crew or the director or whatever, but that's different. Like I can go on a film, dive into a character and know that I'm not going to see those results for a while. But drag is theater. And so theater is not a digital thing to me.
For me, I've started rethinking what drag means. For me also, it was very much theater, but I've started to adjust my mentality as film. Where was I going with this? I'm having one of those moments where I like have a train of thought and lose it all of a sudden.
Are you getting emotional because we're all together right now?
No.
No?
Listen, I've sat with you guys on a bench in the park.
That's true.
And I know where you live. I know where you live.
That is a threat. She just threatened.
I do get that gratification from being on stage and having an audience that applauds me. But also, I used to draw a lot, which is my like first entry into the arts. And I can also get a different kind of gratification when I finish a project and can look at it myself, even before I show it to others. My adjustment has been putting more, or like getting more satisfaction from the first step of the process of finishing the work.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Before I show it to others and get their response.
Accident Report, do you get that kind of gratification when you are just putting together a mix at home versus like playing live?
No, playing live is more fun. It's just like I haven't done, I mean, I have technological limitations for DJing because like my computer's old and I can't get on Twitch and start spinning, but I don't even think I would want to.
What about the producing you've done for like Aja? Like, do you get any satisfaction out of finishing a track?
Yeah, it's totally different though. It's really different because like I don't, you know, I've never seen Aja like perform a lot of the tracks I've made.
Such an interesting conversation to me because I don't have that sort of technical artistic thing. Mm-hmm. I've always been a performer.
See, like, that's why I said I love your sense of spontaneity. And that's also what makes you Ariel's favorite drag queen, because Ariel has to plot everything. And you're like, I'm going to go. I'm going to do X at this moment, and the audience is going to respond that way.
Oh, I annoy DJs all day long because I'm like, I sent you these tracks, but can you actually play this track instead? Because this is how I'm feeling.
So here's the thing about that.
I think in the case of Accident Report, It depends
well,
on
with the, us. Well,
it depends
with
on
us,
the purpose
he kind
of the
of
drag.
Knows that that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think for Eric, it depends on the purpose of the track he's working on. If it's supposed to be played in a space, you're not going to get that satisfaction unless you play it in that space. In the case of producing music, for example, for an artist like Aja, it's supposed to be listened like this, and you can hear what people are going to hear before.
Yeah.
So
that is something I thought about when I make her tracks too. Like I was like, well, this is going to sound really different on club speakers than it's going to sound in headphones. So I have to make it sound cool in each. And so Aja's tracks are like bass rattling tracks. So if they're played on real speakers, they really rattle the bass, and that's what I wanted. But you can't hear that in headphones. So there's part of it that's like, you know, there. You have to design an experience for each setting almost.
Yeah.
I think that's similar into like, are you performing at a bar at night? Are you performing in a theater space? Or are you performing, you know, are you just doing a bingo show at a bar? Like, I definitely like will manipulate things that I do for that reason.
So
I don't typically play for a theater though.
In terms of my work, I have been working on adjusting.
Oh, do you think this is about you?
Yeah, that's why I'm your guest here.
Okay, cool.
I've been working on adjusting my expectations in my output, as in I have to think from the beginning, what do I want the audience to see? And make exactly that. And so building up the show is a different experience now, but I do like the build up to a live show better. Because like that, you also get the thrill of going on stage besides the anxiety of is anyone going to show up. Now you don't have the satisfaction of I get to go on stage, but you only have the anxiety of are people going to show up.
Right. What do you think the future is then? As our final concluding thought. We'll each go around and say.
Well, I have another question.
Oh, fine.
I think if you want to work far and wide, and because the future is uncertain, you have to really adapt and like be okay with adapting.
See, and I'm also, an old lady and I'm not okay with adapting.
If people don't want to do that, also it's fine. I respect their choice. But also, we don't have that anymore. Oh, you're just an Instagram queen thing anymore.
It's gone.
But, like,
yeah.
I'm happy that that's going away because people are finding their own paths now.
Let me ask you this. I miss doing brunch so much. That's probably my favorite show that I've ever done is our brunch show because it's just like hyper and chaotic and fun.
I do brunch for fun. Yes.
We've had conversations about this and I always find it really interesting. What have you learned about doing that brunch show that you carry into your, because you're very much, I forget the word I'm looking for, but you have an idea for performance and what's the word I'm looking for? Concept. You're conceptual.
Am I?
I think you're conceptual.
I don't necessarily think of myself as a conceptual person, but that's because people throw around that word all the time and it doesn't mean anything to me. But I guess.
No, you are.
So brunch was the first show where I was actually able to let go and have fun. And sometimes I get extra drunk and act extra drunk. Like, more drunk than I actually am just because.
She'll whisper in my ear sometimes. She'll be like, I'm just.
Yeah.
That's a very thing to do, just to whisper into someone's ear the phrase.
Because I don't get to let go that. Because I don't get to let go that much in my real life, and you actually.
What do you mean you don't get to let go? Like, is it something that's self-imposed?
Something that's self-imposed for my own well-being. For example, during this time, I wanted to go out and protest, but because I have a pending asylum case, I can't be put behind bars and have a criminal record.
That's different.
No, but like, I have a lot of pent-up energy from the very different things. And when I talk to people, because I'm a person of color, because I'm a queer person, because I'm a gender non-conforming person, people expect me to quote unquote know my place. And I have to play into respectability politics a lot in my day-to-day life. And there's a lot of things that happen like in the back of my head. It's like, oh, don't talk to that person this way. Don't talk to that person that way. Behave like this in front of this person. Behave like this in this setting. And when I am presenting myself at A plus, the quote unquote respectable project, I have to be like a very serious, regal, glamorous person and present my quote unquote best work. And I get the satisfaction from putting things together, but it's not always freeing. And brunch is the time when I get to let go and actually have fun. And I have actually taken back to other areas of my life.
Okay, I have one more question.
Yes.
Mariah Carey or Beyonce?
Mariah Carey.
Great, wonderful.
Every brunch show, she'll ask the audience Mariah Carey or Beyonce. And it's usually Mariah Carey. It's only been twice it's been Beyonce.
That's crazy. Do you
There
what?
would be no Beyonce without Mariah Carey.
What
Like, in terms
Beyonce
of
number do
first.
you do, Emmy?
Say again?
What Beyonce number do you do?
I do Irreplaceable because that was the first Beyonce song that I heard. And it was a song designed to be pop and for radio. So like I gravitated towards it when I first heard it. I really want to do XO, but I haven't found the right concept for it. And also XO is like the new Beyonce songs, even though she's become a very like powerful, iconic figure, most of her new music has been like more of a vibe rather than like heavy hitters.
We
So,
can't get into the Beyonce discourse today. We
yeah,
gotta
we're
go.
just, we'll have to,
We're
we'll have to
laughing.
do
So,
Beyonce
as
on another
somebody who
episode.
likes to work with concepts, it's hard to do a song that's just a vibe. That's where I'm stopping.
Okay, great. We're done.
Thank you. It'd be great. This has been
Let
Nobody
me
Saying
drop your social
Hello.
media one more time, real fast.
My social media is at EMIGRATE underscore DRAG.
And then you could watch the cat show on Saturday, October 31st, on the Twitch channel,
8 p.m.
8 p.m.
On Halloween. Happy Halloween. This is our last episode before Halloween.
Oh my gosh, what should we do? Say a prayer or express a curse?
Do we dimension shift?
Oh,
We
well,
did that for
let's not
this past New
well,
Year's?
we did
No,
that. We did
no,
that
2 years
on New
ago.
Year's. We're
2 years
gonna
ago.
on Halloween on the full moon. Anyone who listens to this, just concentrate on moving into another dimension, and we'll see you on the other side.
We'll
Have a
see you
good
on the other
day.
side.